The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve. You're all right, lads?
Yes, indeed.
Hello there.
Hello there. It's all been, Steve, by the way, I mean to catch up with you on, because you said last weekend you had a chance to catch up on my video series, 10 Lessons I've Learned for Investing in Small Cap Stocks. I've just released lesson 8, which is strategy. Steve, have you managed to watch any of the videos?
Do you know what? I'm going to be completely honest and say no, but there's a few occasions.
I wish you weren't honest. I just said, yes, do you know what? They were fantastic. I'd highly recommend them. To anyone who's seen them, there's lots of stuff in them about stocks and shares and stuff. And just, you know, a bit of blather, Steve, a bit of blather. But you've been honest now.
I'm sure they are, but maybe we'll do this next week. But I just kept getting interrupted every time I was going to start watching them. So now I wanted to put my full effort and concentration into them.
So what took precedence over this, Steve? You said last weekend you had plenty of opportunity, that weekend to look at them. What took precedence? Get your priorities right, man. What's happening there? Yeah. Tell me what's more important.
I forgot over the weekend, if I'm honest, but then I've tried to do it during the week and then work just kept getting in the way, so. Next week.
Well, listen, there's one that they've broken down into nice, easy lessons. Lesson one, there's an intro and lesson one. Just do one at a time, yeah? And give me your feedback. We don't want all 10 or all 8. I haven't done 10, actually. But don't all 8. Just do the one, lesson and give us feedback on that, yeah?
Okay, all right, okay.
And subscribe to the channel, Steve.
Please. I have.
Come on then, Steve. I'm not disappointed.
Sure. Come on, Steve.
I mean, do you know, if the people I talk to once a week, who are my closest friends, don't even need to support me here, then what impact? Do you know what? Even strangers, actually, Steve, are more supportive than you. I'm getting nice messages and nice comments on them, and you can't even be bothered. Can't even be bothered. Yeah. Steve, yeah. The depth of his research is, what's the ticker? Yeah. That's it. What's the ticker? What's the ticker, Steve? That's what we should call Steve. What's the ticker? Okay, I'm in. Yeah, okay.
Now, to be fair, on WhatsApp this week, Steve did a bit more research, didn't he? He asked you, Justin, which shares he should sell.
Which
he should de-risk on and which he shouldn't.
So the thing is, though, that Justin is always going to do more research and better research than I'm ever going to do.
Yeah, true. Well, but you should always try and do some research. That's what I'm saying,
And then
ask questions. But you don't do research, Steve, because you don't ask any questions. Or you research and just don't understand something and it doesn't matter.
That's probably more the case.
Yeah. So you mentioned, actually, right, about before we came on just then. So what's happened to PRD? Has come off a bit. Predator Oil and Gas has come off a bit. What was the question you asked? Was that the question you asked? I don't know if it was. What was it?
Well, no, that was pretty much the question, but I wasn't sure if I was just being stupid and I missed something. So I did have a little quick look around, but I couldn't see anything that had happened.
Well, let me tell you something, Steve. That company has done over 300% in 1 month, right? That is phenomenal. It's done in the last 33 days of trading. It's only had 10 down days. So two-thirds of the time it's been rising, which is phenomenal. It doesn't happen in stocks. So you're going to get to a stage where, it's going to exhaust itself. If you look on the chart, what's called a relative strength index, if it gets above a 70 position, that's called overbought. And that means it's hot. And if you look at the chart of PRD, I get up now, it's been pretty much spent all the last couple of weeks in above 70. It's been, really cooking on gas as an analogy. I know you like them, Steve, analogies. But if you look at them, you've got your beans cooking away there, or you've got something boiling, like egg boiling, or something simmering. The lid there on top of that pan has been shaking with basically, overboiled, overcooked sort of. It's been boiling, simmering high. It's been overflowing. So let's say you start cooking some pasta, and you just put. Apparently, you shouldn't put a top on the pasta, but you do that to start to get the heat going through it straight away.
Put a wooden spoon. Put a wooden spoon across the top, and that stops it overflowing.
That's
our top tip.
But anyway, what's happening is if you put the top on your little pan there, that's been rattling away like crazy for the last 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, it's overflowed, and some of the water's come out.
I've seen this happen before. Obviously, when it kind of rises and it pulls back at it, but I've just never seen it
fall
that far.
Steve, I have a question for you, and I know the answer. Have you de-risked out of Predator? Have you de-risked taking
yes,
it back?
I have. Yes.
Right. So,
in fact, and I almost did it at the top as well. Not quite right.
well,
at the top, but
well done. So, yeah. Do you reckon you're the only person that's done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can assure you you're not. So, what
in fact, a nice fellow, I don't want to mention his name, on Twitter said, I forgot to de-risk on Predator. And I said to him, this is what I said. I said, listen, you're up at the moment. It's done 300%. People seem surprised by this. When you get a stock rise that fast, that quickly, like I said, it is like a you know an overcooked pan. It's an overheating pan. After a while, the top will blow and it'll let some steam off, you know? But, I don't know how to stretch this analogy any further, but Predator Oil & Gas has been highly watched. It's the most followed company on Vox. We have a list there. It's worth looking at. It's a good measurement of sentiment, of money flow. It's been in the top five most followed companies for like 4 weeks, and it's been number one of those for a lot of time. And there's only a couple of companies I've seen that to before. That was Asia Met, Visarian. You can put it in that category. There's a couple of others. It's got, you know, a good pedigree here, and I think people are using this fall off to top up to get involved, or maybe they're waiting to start rising again. But this has massive potential, and yeah, short term you're going to have these, you know, overheated situations where it becomes overbought and people sell and take a bit of profit. But I think it'll start to resume that trajectory on news because we're still a sub. Well, it's now. What's the price of it? It's literally, because it's 100 million shares an issue. It's easy to value. It's literally, 6.7 pence is 6.7 million market cap, you know? So compared to its assets that it has, massive assets in Ireland, off coast Ireland, of course, the high risk, but gas, they have a massive fields it has there, and they have Trinidad as well. This is nowhere near where it could be, you know, its market potential. So, yeah.
And the beauty of de-risking, obviously the beauty of de-risking is that we've each got stake in this company. We've got the money back we've put in, so you know we're not at risk, if you like. And like you say, there's still plenty to come in the months and years ahead, hopefully. But we're not at any risk, so it is actually in a perfect situation, isn't it?
Exactly.
If
that investment
like this would be great.
Exactly. I mean, I sold half of it there, and you know, for me, I always try and sell. Like I said, when to buy and when to sell. I always try and sell on an up day. When there's plenty of liquidity going through the stock, people are buying, I'm selling. That's what I want to do. And I want to be selling when I want to be also buying when people are selling. So I'm selling when people are buying, I'm buying when people are selling. That's what I want to do. Because you don't want to... Go on.
Go on, Steve.
Did you sell half of yours then, or just your initial investment?
Yeah, I sold... what? I got 100%. I sold half. So I literally had... I got 1 million shares. Now.
Right. Nice.
So that's half, yeah. But I couldn't sell in one chunk, of course. There was a couple of up days with lots of volume going through, so I sold half. But I mean, I still now, I want to hold on to that. There's been times where I could have, you know, de-risked more, I thought, but I don't want to. I want to keep that, because I do believe there's excellent potential in this stock, Predator Oil & Gas. I like it a lot. I don't think there's many companies around at that market cap with that upside potential. You know, you're talking about, like I said, they got a gas field in Ireland near the two major gas fields that are producing, they're supplying Ireland with a third of its gas supply now. Those two fields are coming off, they're maturing, and they've got similar size gas fields owned by Predator right next to these things. So I'm thinking, hang on, this is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And like I said, that one gas field, Shell sold 45% of the gas field. That's next to their one was Corrib. There's a South Corrib, Predator's a South Corrib, but Shell sold 45% of that holding for 1.2 billion. And yet, it's like, what? And yet, Predator has one of those, and next to infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the smaller of the two. That's the smaller of the two. So, and you know, and yet you've got near term cash generation at Trinidad. So, yeah, there's no way I'm selling this down. But because I think it's one of the things that could be, you know, a 10 bagger, even from here, even though it's done three bags, it could be a 10 bagger still.
What I love is though, I think Steve probably got the best price in his de-risking. Did you? I think you sold around 9p, didn't you?
No, I. 9.2.
Yeah, oh, nice. Which is higher than I de-risked at. But then I didn't halve, because it had gone up so rapidly. I only sold about 20%, 25% of, which pretty much was then my original stake. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes.
So yeah.
So
anyway,
It was one of the things when I saw it, you know, valid at that 2.3 level, 2.35 when I wrote the blog about it, I thought, what? This is not valid at all, beyond cash, pretty much. And I didn't understand it. And I just went, and you've got Paul there, who's a, you know, an industry professional, 40 years worth. And it's good actually interview with him on, I didn't do it, but it's on Vox. It's worth listening to. And he says at the end, right at the end, it's worth listening to. I think it's, I can't remember how many minutes it's in now, but I'll put the link out. But it's when he talks about his experience in the industry, and he argues with three lawyers, and he comes up on top because he's had all-round industry experience from all the, because these guys are oil and gas lawyers and all that stuff. But he beat them all because he's had experience on the legal side and on the industry side, operational side, and all this stuff. So it's so quite good, actually, how he knows about the industry. He wasn't bragging. He's just saying, you know, you need all kinds of... He's had experience politically and, you know, operationally and legally, whereas these guys just had experience legally, and he beat them with an argument he had with them. Anyway, okay.
So just one final thing on Predator.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that... So obviously it's gone well in terms of de-risking the rest of it, but like you're saying there, we've got the potential there, and it's one of those quite rare stocks that has that potential. If talking Friday afternoon, it's come down, it's around 6.5p. Mm. You know, I'm sort of tempted to go, well, it's time to actually load up again.
I mean the chart, if you look at the chart there, it's worth looking at the chart. I've drawn a line on the chart, right, and that line tops the support is around 6.5 pence. I mean, you could put a line, a channel trend line up 6.5 pence, but you're playing time here, because a chart will flatten out, it'll have severe drops. And you see the biggest drop was the first day. If you look at the chart, the biggest drop was the first day, went from 9.3 to 7.8, and then the next day went from 7.6 to 7.1, and then Friday, as I'm looking at it, it's gone from 6.8 to, and so those drops are going shallower and shallower, and all of a sudden it'll level out. And then I think that's the time to start thinking about scaling in. But at the moment, it's still, you know, it's you've got to let it settle and cool down and see where it levels off. But I'd say we're starting to get close to now where it's going to settle. But even then, it's gone from 2.3 pence in the last month to 6.5 pence. So it's a heck of a rise. You know?
And when Paul was on the podcast, I remember him saying, and this is back in sort of August time, it was all kind of happening in the next 9 months from then, wasn't it?
I think there'll be decisions, hopefully. He suggested it would be before the end of the year on Trinidad. Yeah. And, like you said, you can't tell because they've applied for the Frontier Exploration License, which they have first refusal on that, on both them. But and then they can't... They've engaged as far as they can go with farm-out, you know, partners, but they can't go any further until they're awarded the Frontier Exploration FEL license. So when that happens, then that will kickstart then talks with farm-out partners. But yet Trinidad, hopefully, but that's become bigger than they thought. You know, when they've been involved in it, almost Paul foresaw the issue in Ireland, but also in Trinidad that they're having there, mature oil fields, and now, you know, Petrotrin, the state oil and gas company, realised they have to restart, and the energy minister there has put a boot up their backside, basically saying, you know, all our oil fields are decreasing. We have to, you know, kickstart exploration and other methods of stimulating these current mature fields, which is where Paul is, and he obviously secured the COR supply on Trinidad, so he was well ahead of the game here. And so that's, and he is in Ireland, so a very clever guy. He politically knows, he's an industry expert, and he knows where it's going, you know? So he was ahead of it takes industries and state oil and gas companies a long time to move. And because he's a small little company, they got in there ahead of the curve. So a very clever guy.
How's the Brexit thing going to affect any of that?
That's it. It plays into the British oil, because there are pipelines that come through, you know, UK. And the supply, you know, Ireland with gas. This is going to be complex now with Brexit.
Yeah.
So they need to, you know, Ireland need to secure their gas supply, because Brexit's going to happen. Of course it will. It's going to happen. We voted for it. It's going to happen. So as long as that happens, it'll mean Ireland need to secure more of their future oil supply. So they're going to want to get these oil fields up and running because it's in Irish waters, you know. So it plays into Predator's oil. In two areas here, politically, very clever. You know, they're sitting smart, sitting pretty, you know. So,
cool.
Yeah, I quite like that. But that's pretty. Do your own research, of course. Everything we talk about in this podcast is pretty much stocks we own. So we are very biased. So do your own research. We may be talking nonsense. Do you know what? I talked last week about a company called N4P or N4 Pharma, you know, and I was looking at it a long time back. Nigel Theobald is the guy I've had on the podcast a while back. They were doing reformulation of drugs, but biotech with oil and gas, and I talk about these on the videos. These are companies, you know, these are sectors, tech, biotech, pharma, and resource companies like oil and gas and mineral resource companies are three areas you're looking for explosive share price growth, because they can go from nothing to, you know, a lot, because they start off very, very risky with their assets, what they're developing, very risky. But should they get breakthroughs, you know, you can see explosive growth. There can be a value re-rate times 10, you know. And so N4 Pharma like this, they're reformulating a drug. In fact, what's the drug that helps you, you know, perform downstairs? It stays, makes you stay to attention. What's it called?
Fenalyn.
No, the drug that makes you, you know...
Viagra.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, sorry. They're reformulating that, right, with their drug called Sildenafil. And so reformulating it means, you know, you reduce the risk, because obviously a drug that's proven, but you're reformulating it and...
use Viagra upstairs as well.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, whatever. I don't mind where, in the bedroom to an apartment, with, you know. Mm. Anyway, Listen, that was their lead drug, okay? And they went through testing and it failed. What happens is when companies like that fail, but the share price, if you look at the share price, on the expectation of this, you know, of this going to testing, you know, the share price went from, I'll just look at it now, from M4P, so it literally, it doubled or tripled over, you know, in a couple of weeks. So it went from 6 pence to 32 pence in a couple of weeks. My brother told my father about it around when they were about 28 pence, you know? That failed. That drug failed, and the testing came back. So it didn't hit the endpoints, and literally dropped off the cliff. Went from 23 pence, it's now down at 4 pence. So my father's sitting on an 80% loss. Someone on Twitter said to me, "How do I have played that trading wise? How do I have played that?" I said, "There's no way to play that. There's no way to play that. The only way you can play this is getting very early, and I'm talking about do your research, getting very early. You know, when it's at like, you know, 4 pence, and then wait for the news to push the share price up." Push it up, then you de-risk. And that's the only way you can play it. That's the only way you should play any oil and gas stocks, any resource company. Do the research getting early, then de-risk before the crowd are there, and then sit and wait. Because if they'd had success in this drug, it had gone higher. But if they had failure on this drug, and it's binary, you know, it's 50-50 chance. And they failed, and literally it dropped from 20, you know, 4 pence, like I said, and it's down at 4 pence. So that's the only way to play these companies. Get in very early. That's why fear of missing out and chasing the price is, you know, you're going to get burned. It's a ticket to failure. If you are chasing, like my brother did, you know, he told my father about this company. It was hot on the bulletin boards. My brother said, get in there. Based on the chance of success, he got in at a very high price and it failed, you know. So that's where you mustn't do. One of the things, you know, and I say, one of the key successes or things I've learned from small cap stocks is never chase a price, because you are chasing inherently what's a risky company, a risky strategy, and you employ that risky strategy to jump in hoping there's success. If there's not success, it'll come off. Sometimes, even if there is success, you know, it's priced in anyway. That success is priced in, and so you're on the, you know, you're onto a failure there. You're onto a butt kicking, essentially. So the only way to mitigate that success, that risk, is getting very early and de-risk, and that's all you can do, you know, on anything. Yeah. So I mean, I said, how do you play it as a trader? I'm not a trader. I'm an investor, and so
you're not a trader at all, are you? Ever?
Well, no. I tend to I have a strategy, but I get bored sometimes. Right now, I'm waiting. I'm searching for the next 10 bagger. The last one I found was PRD. To me, it ticked so many boxes. Like I said, the owner had 44% of skin in the game. Paul, you know, it was very under the radar. So very free. Not a lot of free float, very under the radar, very undervalued, massive potential assets that could be more than 10 baggage, you know, from his current market. Yeah. At the moment, I'm looking around for that. I've had a couple of punts on stuff out of boredom. I haven't found the next 10 bagger that ticks all those boxes. But that's why it's hard to to formulate the strategy, but to stick to the strategy, which you've got to do, you know. But it doesn't hurt now and again to veer off, as long as you stick to your risk profile, don't overexpose yourself, because sometimes you need a reminder that there's a strategy there that you've formulated and that you've evolved into that works. And every now and again, it, you know, literally, you know, I make losses on small little punts because it reminds me that I've got a strategy, actually. And it gets boring sometimes. At the moment, the market's been brutal the last couple of days, hasn't it? It's really been coming off. And it's really hard to stick and have patience sometimes, but patience pays off, you know? And I'd like to have, you know, 100% hit record, but sometimes it's good not to have a 100% hit record. Remind you that you can make losses. So stick to the plan, Stan, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Any any questions? There's a couple of stocks I want to talk about, but go on.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Cora Gold.
Yes, that was next on my list, right here now.
Oh, there we are.
Cora.
Fire now, away.
Yeah, so this basically, you know, ticks a lot of boxes on my strategy. It's got a, you know, shareholder register is good, assets are very good. I mean, I've got to say, they were at the sort of top end of the range price-wise. They were like 9-10 million, that considering they hadn't defined a resource, a joke resource yet. But I like them a lot. I pay a premium because the guys behind this have done it all before. They have very deep pockets. They're very, very wealthy people who've done very well mining in Africa, you know, and this is what they're doing again. And you've got Hummingbird Resources behind it as well. I was paying a little bit of a premium here at 9 million market cap, maybe 10 million, considering they hadn't defined a resource and they're not into scoping study or anything like that yet. But they came out with final assay results, drill results from Tekla Duga, which is not their main lead project. You know, it's,
no.
I mean, the last set of results they came out with, it almost was exceptional. The results, they were phenomenal. They had excellent grades. And so they looked into the final set of results, disappointed a little bit. And Dr. John Forster came on the podcast and explained. He said, geology is hard, you know, it's risky. This is what happens. But he said, we're sort of, and when you're drilling, you're trying to define the shape of the ore body, where the high-grade stuff is. That's the whole thing. And a lot of it's hit and miss. You know, the first set of results we had were phenomenal on this. And in fact, it blew us away. We didn't expect that good a result. Now we've come back with not, they weren't bad, but they weren't exceptional. And so we're still learning about this ore body. But they've got, this is a company with like 15 targets, drill targets. You know, I mean, San Ancora is their lead project, which is going to, it's going to be a standalone mine. And so when you're looking for a standalone mine, you're looking for ounces, around about a million ounces and resource, and that's what they pretty much got nearly at San Ancora. And so that can get bigger and bigger and bigger. But also they want other drill targets, you know, and so they're looking at Tekla Duga. Still potential there, still huge potential, because down the road from Hummingbird, that's processing plant, so it can be brought out of the ground very cheaply. They don't need to build a mine for it, so capital expenditure is very small. So it can still have potential to earn the money, not a problem. But I think you've got a combination, three things are combined here. You've got, okay, results that didn't exceed. You've got a seller in there, and the people sell for all different reasons. There's a person selling down. And so that's knocked the share price as well. And the fact that it's the rainy season and they haven't got any news coming out now for a while, there's no significant milestones for a while. There's three things here that have hit that share price. But I like it still. I like the, you know, the, I like the what they've got. I like the shareholders. I like the guys, the team there. This could become a super bargain soon. It's down at 6 million market cap now. And I'm thinking, we are becoming...
I haven't listened to the podcast, which I will, but... what's the time frame on the thing?
I think they're going back to San Ancora. They'll probably there's several things you can do. They can either sort of expand that resource, which they may do, or they'll do some infill drilling and define the resource. I mean, it's come up with a joke resource, an official joke resource, and then normally what you do is expand from there. But yeah, there's a couple of things. But I mean, it's a longer term play. You know, even when I wrote a blog saying my top five picks for this year that outperformed. I did think even then this was more a longer term play than this year. This you know, it may take another year, but this will be, honestly, they have the potential here to be a triple digit market cap. And but yet, like I said, on AIM, a lot of short term people, a lot of short term investors, so it may take a hit for a while. But you know, the lower the market cap goes here, the more potential it has, because they've got assets. You know, they've got the assets, they've got the experience. But yeah, Cora I like a lot. It's not one I'm going to say, okay, the story's changed. It hasn't changed at all. It's just understanding the ore body of their, let's say, their second project. It's not their lead product project.
The story has changed with that project slightly, but then, like you say, it's not the main project. So
Look at the last set of the previous set of results. Excellent, you know. But they're excellent, and so. there is the grade there. It's there. It's just finding it. And John explained it. What he explained very, very well. He said when minerals are formed, basically they come out of the ground and flow upwards. He said, we've got to explain to you what we think we've got here. The ore body is the shape of a comb, you know, a hair comb. So with the first set of results, we got the spine of the comb quite thick there, and we drilled into that, and then we went to the east, and we discovered we basically hit bits in between the comb, you know, and we hit a couple of teeth maybe here and there, but some of them we missed those teeth. So it's just defining, it's with exploring, the more you drill, obviously, the more you understand the ore body, but the more you drill, the more it costs. So it's a fine line between drilling enough to know, you know, sometimes you will become lucky, or sometimes it won't be a comb, it'll be a flat sort of sheet. So, and, you know, which is more economically viable. So it's just understanding the shape and the density of the ore body. That's all it is. And, but at the moment, Sanicor, they sort of understand it, the Sanicor, their lead project, they understand the shape of it more. So that works for them better. But there's still excellent grade at Tekle Duku, but just, you know, how much time and money they spend on that, considering it's not their lead project, you know? So, yeah, not a problem. It'll weaken, but like I say, you know, become a bargain essentially. What else are we looking at? Do you know what a company? Oh, did you see? By the way, Europa's doing well, isn't it? I've got to say, I have de-risked on that now. I've de-risked on Europa metals because we're over 100%. You didn't ask me. You said, Pete. You said, okay, scoping studies next week. You know, 5 days. Within 5 days, we'll know the economics are at this mine. And is it priced in? And the share price has risen, but I don't know how it can be priced in to a certain extent. It's risen, but because we don't know how big that scoping study is, because we've had a joke upgrade. So they had 16 million tonnes at around about 7% lead and zinc there. And now it's gone to 19. And that's without drilling anything. Drilling costs money, right? But all they've done is look at the core samples in the shed there, in the complex in Spain. And they've said, right, there's more. We have professional guys look at this, expert guys look at this, and they, in fact, there's better here, there's more grade, there's more size, and there's better grade. So the value of the metal has gone up, and the amount of value the metal in the ground has gone up. And also, the week before, like we talked about, they've applied for a mine permit. You know, so they sort of know the scoping study already. So you're thinking, okay, why are they applying for a mine permit if the scoping study isn't economically viable? So I don't know if it's priced in, I don't know. But, I mean, you're still looking at...
That just seems strange that there's so much selling going on now.
It's a highly... I know, it's a highly traded stock. It's risen a bit. I mean, it is highly traded, you know, and some stocks are not. I mean, again, the free float isn't as free as this, as with Predator Oil and Gas, you know? I mean, it's more free. I mean, it's a bit more baggy, the stock, you know?
Because, less held by...
Less held by the board, less. So listen, you know, Paul on his own at Predator owns, you know, 44%. That's half the stock being tied up. In fact, him and another board member tie up over 50% of the stock. So it's less free float, you know. And with Europa, there's a bit more bagginess in the stock. So there's a lot of free float about. That's why it's a bit more traded. So you get that. But like I said, it's still sub 8 million. With the potential to turn over tens of million, or to generate tens of million in free cash flow every year. Obviously, it'll take a while to get the mine left time, but I mean, yeah, still a huge potential there. And I'm happy to hold. I own a big, sizable chunk in my portfolio wise, percentage wise, still. So I'm still happy. And
I was actually going to message you this week actually about Europa, because it was getting close to 100% for me, but obviously didn't actually hit it. So I was asking, you obviously.
I'm more than 100% on that. Why you didn't average down, did you? I think, or something. I'm more than 100%, I'm 130%, I think.
No, I'm not. I'm like 70%.
No, but you guys didn't average down, did you? I remember the placing. I said, what are you dead? I remember that time. I said, what are you doing? That was a whole plan. The plan was the placing came, it knocks the share price down, the discount, you buy then as much as you can. You get in as much at that level, because then they've got cash, and you know the share price is low. And you didn't do it, maybe you didn't, and you waited for a couple of days and it bounced something, and you bought, go, that's why. See, that's why you need to get your average down, guys, get it down.
That's fair.
Pull them down.
Well, you know, we live and learn, well, sometimes.
But I think, listen, this is a long way. We're talking short term here, you know, de-risking all that short term. I mean, like I said, you know, if you look at longer term, you look at an investor 2-3 years, this will be higher down the line, a lot higher, you know, a lot higher. It's just I like to have some more cash to look for other things, you know, that's all, to recycle and do other things. But I mean, I'll be holding this for a couple of years, hopefully, and it'll do several bags from here, you know. So that's a longer term time frame. It's all about time frames, isn't it? Let's be honest. So I'm just looking.
It'll just be interesting once the scoping study comes out next week. What happens to the share price? Like, I sort of feel we almost know that it's, well, hopefully there's going to be a good. I don't know how good, but it's going to be good. Are people going to then just take profit, and we'll just see?
I think it should fly on the day. The ship I should fly, hopefully, because I think people are sort of starting to sort of position themselves for it. But
at what point will bigger investors come in, like institutional investors?
I have no idea. But I mean, I'm sure they've been showing the scoping study to third parties. So who knows? You know. So So that's it. ACP is a funny one. Armadale Capital's Graphite, which I quite like. Do you hold any ACP?
Yes.
I'm taking a hammering on it, right? But listen, I just think they've now hired a marketing guy. They're phenomenal sort of. The figures come out here, brilliant, you know. IRR, internal rate of return of 122%. They've got an NPV, net present value, of $350 million, which is like, for a 4 or 5 million market cap company. Yes, it's in Tanzania, but I just read articles on another explorer, an Australian listed company, a junior explorer in graphite in Tanzania. They've now got permits and licenses. They're now becoming a producer this week. So it's happening out there. Matt Bull, who owns about 10% of the stock, is the exploration manager. He came on the podcast. He said, no, it's Tanzania has had a reputation over the last couple of years of the government beating it down on miners and stuff. But it's freeing up now. They're starting again. It's happening. It's okay. Everything's easing up there. But they've just hired now well-known marketing guys in China. And this is where all these commodities go. All these commodities, pretty much lithium, they're all going to China. China's way ahead now of America on electric vehicles. They are also cleaning up their act as far as environmental. So their mines and everything. Now, that's why they have to go outside the country for lithium and for graphite, because their mines have become very environmentally friendly. They are sort of towing the line or catching up with the rest of the world on being, environmentally sensitive. And so they shut down loads of mines. And so the graphite supply or production has gone down. So they're looking, I mean, if you look around anywhere, Africa, anywhere where they're producing, any commodities for EVs, China are the buyers. So they've just set up a marketing agency or just employed someone in China, and looks like a quite a good guy, well-known sort of good sort of pedigree, to market them. And if they get an offtake agreement, I think it should fly. I mean, they looked at their interims. They've got enough cash, I think, for another sort of, 6 months, pretty much, 3 or 6 months. Check it out. I don't know. But I just think if they get an offtake agreement, it should fly, because it's a ridiculous price down here. It's risky, Tanzania, but that risk is priced in, I believe, completely priced in. So I think on any news, I will be topping up. I mean, it may fly, but I'll be topping up on any news. I'm going to wait for a while. Same with Cora. I'm going to wait for a while, but I'll be topping up, but once the news comes out, because I just believe in the project. I think the project is phenomenal. Sort of, just look at the scoping study on ACP. It is nuts. And graphite, and their product is very good. It's very hard to get high purity graphite, and they have. So the product is very good, and I just think, people are just feel it's too risky, as all. Anything else? But of course, risk reward go hand in hand. Anything else? BT's the most annoying shit in the world, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Boring, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
One day.
It will get there. Do you know what? It threatened to be up 230 this week, and then it dropped back on that day of big sell-off. It dropped back. But
it could just trade at this level for years, couldn't it?
I know. I think it will pop. I think generally it will pop above that.
Want to go down further?
No. It'll pop above that 200-day moving average, and it'll start climbing there. So it's built a base now at about 220, 218. And I think sooner or later, a couple of days, it may take a month or so, but it'll pop and start going then. And you'll have an uptrend. Look how long this downtrend has happened. That's how long the uptrend will stay up for, I think, intact for. Literally years. So it'll be a nice dividend paying stock, even though we sell out,
for the experiment.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I better go, guys. I've got to interview a very important person, for the podcast.
What, more important than us?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. You two just scum. Yeah, I know.
Right. Yep, we are the Muppets.
You are the stuff on the bottom of my shoes. That I shout and scream at when I walk in the house with it on the bottom of my shoes, you know? That kind of stuff.
Well, you know that's not true, because Megan would never let you walk into the house.
exactly.
Yeah. He'd be shot.
Exactly. Exactly. Did I tell you this week, by the way, I'll just finish with one thing. I was watching, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, I said this on Twitter. I was watching the telly. No, I was doing some editing in my last video. So I had headphones on, I watched them on my laptop. The missus is watching Emmerdale. All of a sudden, she pressed pause on the TV. I said, just... Yeah, I took my headphones out. Yeah. So there's a lady in Tenerife with a tortoise, a dead tortoise, she went into hospital. She's a British lady.
Breaking news.
I looked at her, I just started laughing, and she went back to watching Emmerdale. That's it. I don't know where that came from.
Where did that come from?
The mirror, apparently.
The tortoise.
Yeah, the tortoise. She's a British lady, expat in Tenerife. And I'm thinking, how on earth... So I did look the story up, and it is true, it's on there.
Megan was watching Emmerdale and looking at her phone at the same time.
No, she was watching Emmerdale. She just came back to it for some reason. I don't know why.
Right. But she stopped. Out of the blue, she paused the TV and said, Justin.
Yeah, and just said that.
Right.
And I couldn't stop laughing. I had a laughing fit for 10 minutes. What's wrong? Anyway. Lads, have a nice weekend. Yeah.
On that tortoiseshell.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely.
Yeah.
Speak next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.